Stay tuned for Bob and Yart Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with a sermon excerpt. Jesus ended the lesson that we read last week in Luke 7 with verse 35, saying that wisdom is justified by all her children. Those who obtain wisdom will defend her. They will defend wisdom, and those who never learn will defend their foolishness. They will try to make their arguments look persuasive, look intelligent. They'll say things and expect you to say, "Oh, wow." Like my two sons were at a United Methodist church in Arvada, and the preacher mentioned Hillary's book, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. And he said, "And sometimes it takes a child to raise a village." And Josiah and Nathaniel in the back looked at each other and said, "Oh." It's one of those moments. Oh, really brilliant there. Those who obtain wisdom will defend her. Those without it are left trying to make their foolishness look insightful. And the next thing that Luke reports after that story about no matter what approach you take, they're going to criticize you. The next thing that Luke reports is that one of the Pharisees, verse 36, asked Jesus to eat with him. And the Lord went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Now, a flask is a bottle with a narrow neck or a flattened neck. And this one was made of alabaster, meaning it was made of a fine textured mineral, probably a translucent white, a pretty nice quality little container for an expensive scented oil. And with it, this sinful woman, verse 38, stood at his feet behind him. Jesus was probably reclining up toward the table, as men will still do in some Middle Eastern cultures. You know, you could sit at a chair in front of a table, or you could lean against a pillow, reclining with on your elbow with your feet behind you. And so she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Does it sound to you like this woman is sorry for her sins? It seems to me that her sorrow came from the depths of her soul. And that while on the outside she was weeping, inside she was wailing with grief for the pain that she has brought into the lives of so many others. This is Pastor Bob Enyard of Denver Bible Church inviting you to visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.com or .org or .net. Or come on out in person this Sunday if you live in Colorado, if you're within driving distance of Denver. Come on out in person. We'd love to meet you at 6200 West Hampton. That's where we meet. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth on the South Frontage Road of Hampton. And Sundays, we start out Sunday morning with a Sunday school class at 9:30. Our worship service is at 11. And our Sunday night Bible study, we're in Colossians at 6 in the evening. So we have a lot of fun. The Sunday school class is 100% interactive. You could come with your questions. It's always informal. And if you have things you're real interested in, chances are you'll have the opportunity to ask those questions. So come on out to Denver Bible Church this Sunday. You're invited. Call for directions, 463-1707.
Service with a wink and a nod.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-86-8. So did you hear about the professor in California who gave his classroom an assignment? Out, not surprised, the young skulls full of mush went ahead and did that, and it got the FBI involved. This is in Petaluma, California. A political science teacher, Michael Ballou, gave his classroom this Kill the President email assignment. He teaches Introduction to Government at Santa Rosa Junior College. And this, of course, caught the attention of officials. One student went home and told his mother about the homework assignment, and she called the FBI, which is appropriate. And, of course, the FBI was interested in looking into this. Another student emailed a note that said, kill the president, to the office of a U.S. representative in Washington, D.C. And so this is just last week. They called, this is just this past Monday, they called the Capitol Police, and then the Secret Service got involved. And according to the professor, he really had a valid reason for doing this. He said the whole idea was for students to experience the wave of fear and paranoia that many U.S. citizens have of their government. In merely typing the words, kill the president, and then hitting the send button on their computer serves as an object lesson in that fear. So I guess if a pro-life group wanted to put in, all right, let's have an experiment and say, kill the abortionist, and start mailing those out, just as an object lesson. Why didn't, you know what the professor could have done if he really wanted to drive this home? Instead of that, he could have done a fear and paranoia exercise for himself, having the students chant, kill the teacher, kill the teacher. And then he could hand them out darts and stand in front of his desk and turn the lights off in the class and see what kind of fear and paranoia surges through his body. What do you think? In a college class today, what do you think would happen? He'd be ducking. Yeah, he could have tried that. Kill the teacher. Kill the teacher. So this is the kind of garbage we have going on in our public schools. I'm glad that the media is not as monolithic as it once was. For example, the perversion that goes under the guise of sex ed courses in our universities are at least to some degree being the light of day is shining in on it. Not enough to make any real difference, but students were instructed to type anything they wanted in the email, but to include kill the president, said Professor Ballou. Nine students were interviewed by the Secret Service. Head of the Secret Service office and I think this is in San Francisco, said it will be up to the U.S. Attorney's Office in California to decide if there's been a violation of the law and if the case will be prosecuted. You know, it's against the law to threaten to kill the president. It should be against the law to threaten to kill anyone. That would be a really good thing for the president of the United States to make clear to everyone on occasions like this. In classroom discussions since the controversy developed, the professor said that students
Students have agreed that the reaction to the message making its way to the authorities proved that paranoia exists. These, Rush calls them young skulls full of mush. That's what Rush calls them, Rush Limbaugh. I call them the gross national product. The graduating classes of every year's public schools, they're the gross national product. It's just, what morons. All right, so, and college officials, of course, have not stated that any disciplinary action will be imposed. The professor's been there for 12 years, part-time. All right. Hey, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. I've been wanting to tell you guys what Kathy Ireland said on MSNBC last week. My wife, Cheryl, and I were watching Scarborough Country. I don't know what time he comes on, later at night. Maybe we see a rerun. After the day is done, the kids are in bed. Turn on the news for a bit, and here's Scarborough Country. And Kathy Ireland comes on, who's basically, I don't know much about her other than she's a tramp model. Right? She's a model, frequently on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She's a tramp, and she's helped to hurt a lot of marriages and families because sexuality should be private. It shouldn't be public. And our society is intensely sexualized, and that hurts kids. It hurts adults, hurts marriages, families, the society at large. And so she was the guest, and I was really in shock when it turns out it was a debate on abortion between her and an actress from a soap opera, The Young and the Restless, named Heather Tom. And it turns out Heather Tom is a pro-abort. She's an abortion activist. And Kathy Ireland was absolutely eloquent. I was just stunned. She said, when I learned the scientific facts that the unborn is a human being at the moment of conception, that this new life has a complete genetic blueprint, the fingerprints, blood type, and sex are determined at conception, and life only comes from new life. That's what Kathy Ireland was saying. I was really ecstatic. I don't know if she's repented for her past and the abortions she's influenced.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here. This is a live commercial break, and you can, if you like to study the Bible, if you like to learn more about what's in the Bible, you could subscribe to our monthly Bible study album, where once a month you'll get in the mail an album, usually about 6 tapes. Sometimes they're an hour long, usually they're 90 minutes in length. And we teach through different books of the Bible, from Genesis, Exodus, through parts of the Old Testament, the New Testament, all the way to the book of Revelation. But we also have albums on special topics. Like if you sign up and you start off with us right from the beginning, you'll get the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One of our most favorite, you know, from the people who have been ordering these albums for years, we've heard that it's just one of their favorites, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, whatever happened to that tree? And why did God put that tree in the middle of the garden? Why not hide it somewhere if it caused Adam and Eve to die and rebel against God? And where'd that tree go? And does it have any influence in our lives today? What does that mean, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, it's all so fascinating, and it's so much fun to study the Bible and really get a grip on what it's saying. So you could call us 1-800-ANYART and subscribe for $34.95 a month. You'll get an album in the mail. Also, you help Bob and Yart Live stay on the air. That's 1-800-836-9278. Bob and Yart here. We're back. I want to tell you more about what Kathy Ireland said and Heather Tom. But first, I want to put a call out. If anyone out there in radio land or on the internet has a copy of a book called Soul of Science or The Soul of Science by Thaxton and Piercy, that's one of my favorite books. And before the show, I was looking at it through my library, and it's not there. I don't know what happened to it. And for the debate, we have a debate going on at theologyonline.com. The debate is, does God exist? It's a 10-round moderated debate between me and an atheist named Zaketh. And we're into the sixth round. Zaketh has just posted his sixth round opening salvo, and I am due to respond by tomorrow. And I really want to double check a quote I have in my post. And it's a quote from Albert Einstein. And I believe I read about it in that book, Soul of Science, which is just a fabulous book. Fabulous. Somebody borrowed my book. Who borrowed my book? I'm not even going to say that name on the air. Who borrowed my book? The Soul of Science. At any rate, if anybody out there has it, please call in during the show or email us at kgovlive@aol.com. And I really try to reach me in the next 24 hours. I would love to talk to you and see if you could look up a quote for me. We check the local bookstores and the local libraries, and we could drive up to Evergreen in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains tomorrow because they've got one up there. So maybe we'll do that. Okay, now, let's see here. Oh, so Kathy Ireland on PMSNBC this past week, and she said, when I learned the scientific facts that the unborn is a human being at the moment of conception, that this new life has a complete genetic blueprint, the fingerprints, blood type, and sex are determined. The eye color, that the baby's, that's who the baby is right there at the moment of conception. You have a unique human being that has just come into existence. And you know what's so neat? God gave us, when he made Adam and Eve, unlike the angels, he gave us the ability to procreate between ourselves. A man and a woman could bring a new human being into existence. And when they procreate, God created Adam and Eve, and he gave us the ability to procreate, to reproduce. And when they procreate and there is conception, that an egg is fertilized, they have brought an eternal being into existence, one who had never existed before. And there's evidence in the Bible that the soul spirit comes from the father. The mother gives half of the genetic material for the child, but where does the soul spirit come from? And it appears that that comes from the father. Because remember, well, there are different verses in the Bible that indicate that. But we can also look at the birth of Jesus. And Jesus Christ was born sinless, even though he came from Abraham's body. He was an actual physical descendant of Abraham through his son Judah, through his son Perez, on down through the genealogy. You get to through Boaz. You remember Rahab? Rahab the harlot in Jericho? And Rahab's son? Who was Rahab's son? Didn't Rahab have a son named Boaz who married Ruth? And they had kids and grandkids and great-grandkid named Jesse, who had a son named David, and he became King David. And through the prophet Nathan, God said to David, from your seed, from your body will come a descendant who will sit on the throne of David and be the Messiah. He'll rule forever. And so Jesus was a physical descendant of King David. He was a Jew because his mother was a full-fledged Jewish mom. And so Jesus was born of Mary's body in that when the Holy Spirit came upon her, he fertilized Mary's egg, one of Mary's eggs. And so the Holy Spirit, God the Father was the Father, provided that half of the genetic material. And the other half came from Mary, from David's body. From Abraham's body as the son of Adam. Really interesting. The seed of the woman. And so the virgin birth enabled Jesus Christ to be born, yet without sin. That is so neat. That is absolutely neat. Remember, the Bible says in two places, a very technical statement by the Apostle Paul, that when did the human race die? When did the human race fall from its position with God? When Eve sinned? No, not when Eve sinned. The Bible says twice, all the world died in Adam. In Adam. When Adam sinned, all the world died. All the human race fell. Not Eve, because there's obviously a difference, because it's the Father who passes the flesh, the tendency to sin, onto the child. And the mother, she does not. It's just so amazing. So anyway, Kathy Ireland was saying that at the moment of conception, you have this brand new life, a genetic blueprint, and the baby's fingerprints, his eye colors, blood type, sex are all determined. Life only comes from new life. And so Kathy Ireland said to this young and the restless, a pro-abort, Heather Tom, she said, Heather, if you have evidence that the unborn child is not human, I would happily join the pro-choice side. That is such a great comment. Comments like that show confidence. You know, those are the kinds of comments that pro-lifers could make, Christians could make, people who believe in God could make, but the atheists, the pro-aborts, they can't make comments like that. They're scared to death too. They can't. That's called falsifying your position or falsification. Theoretically falsifying. In other words, I'm pro-life, but if there is evidence that the unborn child is not human, then I'll stop being pro-life. That's courage. For example, the atheist in the debate, Zaketh, If you go online, you go to our website, kgov.com, kgov.com, and you click on the banner on the top of the website. The banner says, Does God Exist? Bob Enyart versus Zakif. And he said to me, he challenged me, Bob, how could you, because I said to him, Zakif, can you falsify your theory that the universe originated naturally? Can you falsify that? And he refused to even attempt it. That's either out of fear or he can't. And if you have a theory that you cannot falsify, it's not falsifiable, that means your theory is nonsense. I'll give you an example. Isaac Newton proposed universal gravity, that matter attracts. So two different bodies of matter will attract one another. So that's falsifiable because you can test it. You can get different bodies of mass and see if they attract. And if they don't attract one another, then they're not, then the theory's wrong. And so he was not willing to falsify evolution, as atheists usually are not. It'd be like saying, let's say an atheist who believes in aliens, and he says, there are invisible Martians living in my head. Oh, really? Now, how do you go about falsifying that? How can you falsify it? If we cut his head open and look, we can't find him because they're invisible. So you just can't falsify it. And so then in his post, when he refused even to attempt to falsify his belief in natural origins, that life arose by chance, when he refused to try to falsify his belief that there's no such thing as absolute right and wrong, he refused to do those things. And he said to me, you can't falsify your faith, your God. You can't falsify him. You can't conceive of a test or of evidence that would say your God does not exist. I can too. Can you out there in radio land? Can you? How would you falsify Christianity, that our God exists? What kind of test could be done? What evidence could be found for us to say that God does not exist, that our Christian God is not true? If you could think of evidence that would indicate that, if it were true, I'm not saying it's true, of course, God is real. But typically, a belief that is real is theoretically falsifiable. So if you can call me with that, if you think you know, what kind of evidence would show us that Christianity is not true? Give me a call, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Because if you have a belief that's just a nonsensical belief, well, then what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Like, you believe that there are invisible Martians living in your head and they're undetectable by anyone else. Well, that's a nonsense belief. So is Christianity falsifiable? Is it something that we claim to believe and it's just there's nothing anyone could ever do? There's no conceivable evidence or test that could show that it's false. So it's really a nonsense belief system? I don't think that's the case. Not at all. Is Christianity falsifiable? Bob Enyart here. This is a live commercial break. 1-800-8-ENYART. I was telling you about our audio albums that we ship out monthly to our subscribers for $34.95 a month. That includes shipping and handling. You could get, for example, we start out with the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the law of Moses. We got the last days, end times, fascinating material about the tribulation, the rapture. There's so many debates about all these things. And so we take it from a perspective of an overview of the whole Bible. And what can we figure out from that perspective? It's just so much fun. The Antichrist, the millennium, the judgment seat of Christ, all that. So if you subscribe, you get those albums. And then there are other topical albums that come once in a while, like Predestination and Free Will. That is really fun. Oh, if you're interested in that topic, we just have a real kicker of a seminar. I've done this seminar, presented this in cities all around the country, from Hawaii to Pittsburgh. And, you know, somebody's got to go to Hawaii, and so we go ahead and stand up to the plate. We're willing to do that. But it's so enjoyable to see what the Bible says on that topic. Just so enjoyable. And so these are the kinds of albums that you'd get. But then, of course, we get into the books of the Bible. Like the world's greatest theological treatise is the book of Romans. We go through the book of Romans and the Gospel of John and the book of Genesis, which is the foundation of the entire Bible. And then the Exodus story in the Exodus code, Deuteronomy, the book of Ruth, 1 Samuel, Eli and Saul. That's when Israel's kingdom was in its infancy. And then King David, who outlived Goliath and Saul. Just so interesting. And then King David's son, Solomon, wrote the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Boy, what a difference between those two books. Proverbs, Solomon had received the great wisdom of God, but by the time he wrote Ecclesiastes, he had utterly rebelled against God. He was building idols and worshiping false gods. The Bible is so fascinating. I invite you to study it with us. Call 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Bob Enyart, we're back. Our phone number to call into the show, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In the last segment, I put out the call. If you have the book, The Soul of Science, well, then I'd really appreciate a call from you or an email at kgov.com, and I'll ask you to check the index. Hopefully there's a subject index in there, and I'm looking for quotes by Albert Einstein or a discussion of Albert Einstein in that book. Okay. So this Kathy Ireland on MSNBC last week said to this pro-abort activist, a soap opera TV actress, Heather Tom, she said, "Heather, if you have evidence that the unborn child is non-human, I would happily join the pro-choice side." That is so great. That's just absolutely great. That's like falsifying the pro-life position. To falsify it, we say, if you can show that the unborn child is not a living human being, then fine, you could do what you want with it. You know, if it's just a tumor is not a living human being. It's a tumor. A part of your body is not a human being. You are a human being. But if you lose your finger, you lost your finger. You didn't lose a human being. And so we can show that our belief system is falsifiable. How? If you can show evidence that the unborn child is not a living human being. In other words, show that it's not alive. That's one way. That's what a lot of pro-aborts think. You know, they're blithering idiots. They're not pro-aborts because they're idiots. They're pro-aborts because they're evil, because they're against God, and their hearts are hardened against children. That's why they're pro-aborts. But they're also idiots. And so either Some of them believe the unborn child is not alive or that it's not human. So you could ask, is it alive? Yes, no, or I don't know. And then two people, when they reproduce, they produce a what? A goat, a squirrel, or a baby, or I don't know. What? What do they produce? A squirrel? Two? A man and a woman. They produce a squirrel, a goat, a human baby, or I don't know. And so perhaps they could show us genetically that it's not a human being. And then we'd say, oh, wow, it's not a human being. We were mistaken all along. So the pro-life position is falsifiable. The pro-abort position, I don't think, is falsifiable. The cowardly positions, the erroneous positions, often are not falsifiable. What evidence would a pro-abort offer and say, if you could show me this, then I'll agree that I should be pro-life? What, if you could show me that the baby feels pain? They wouldn't say that. If you could show me that the baby sleeps in the womb and dreams, they wouldn't say that. If you could show me that the baby has a heartbeat, they wouldn't say that. If you could show me that the baby has brain waves, they wouldn't say that. Those things would eliminate virtually 100% of all abortions. Close to it. They wouldn't say those things. If you could show me that the baby in the womb knows his own mother's voice, they wouldn't say it. They just wouldn't say it. You know, sometimes when we go protesting, our group at Denver Bible Church will go out to some event, a pro-life event or a secular event. We like to go once a year. University Hospital has an animal rights protest on Colorado Boulevard. And it's students, faculty, they stand out with signs saying don't kill, you know, don't experiment on rats or mice or rabbits or whatever. And so we join it. We go too, because we're against experimenting on living creatures that are killed, unborn boys and girls. So we go with our signs, and they become enraged, absolutely enraged. And, you know, every one of them, the ones we talk to, and it appears that every one of them, they're against killing an unborn, a fetal pig for experiments, as is sometimes done. They oppose killing a fetal pig, but they support killing little boys and little girls who are sucking their thumbs, playing with their toes, sleeping and dreaming, and they know their own mother's voice. They support that, but they're against killing a fetal pig. And so we go there, but we're professional protesters. So our signs are four times bigger than their signs. And their signs, you have to stand within about 4 feet to read them. Our signs you could read from two blocks away. And so we go there with a dozen or so of our huge signs and all the thousands of cars that drive by on that busy Colorado Boulevard, and we effectively take over the protest. The traffic going by on a Saturday morning, they think it's an anti-abortion protest, only with about three times more people than we could usually drum up. And the animal rights people just are enraged, absolutely enraged. They're irate. Why don't you get your own protest? Go get your own. Da, 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 da. They hate us. Because we're saying, don't kill these babies. They're saying, don't kill the rats. Kill the babies. It's not the kids, it's the fish. It's not the kids, it's the fish. That's their position. They're just insane. But it's not mostly stupidity, idiocy, or insanity. It's mostly hatred. They hate God. Their hearts have been turned. The hearts of the mothers in America have been turned against the children. So in Israel and in the Netherlands, researchers have been working on a new little trick. They take an aborted baby, a little baby girl, and they harvest her eggs. And they're working on it, and they're saying that they think an aborted baby girl could become the mother of a new living baby by donating her eggs to an infertile woman. Great. Great. So we kill little kids, and then we chop them up and use their body parts. It's Dr. Mengele all over again. And in Israel, they have the gall to do this in Israel. The gall to do it in Israel. You know, in Israel, I don't know if they changed the law recently. When we were there one or two times ago, I asked about the law and was told abortion was legal, but you need a judge to sign off. In fact, a tour guide there, the tour guides are certified by the government. The tour guide said you need a 3-judge panel to sign off on killing the baby. And, of course, the guide was a pro-abort, as I think most of Israel's population is pro-abortion. And immediately when he said that, I thought back to Nazi Germany when, before they started killing the Jews en masse in concentration camps, they were killing Germans who were in, you know, they were in homes for the mentally retarded, for the disabled, for the elderly. And they would kill them. They didn't kill them en masse at first. They would kill them. It required three doctors to sign off on a treatment where they would gas the patient, euthanize, and kill the patient. And at first, of course, the person had to be really severely ill and no chance of recovery. And then after a few years of this, they were killing, pretty much just emptying out entire hospitals and entire homes. Homes for mentally retarded, for senile, for juvenile delinquents. One kid, and you know, the Germans, they documented everything. And once the Berlin Wall came down, we got a lot, just millions of pages of documentation. And some of it, we see that three doctors signed off to kill this little boy. I think he was 9 years old. And the reason they put in was a bed wetter. He wet the bed, and so they killed him. They gassed him. As they gassed tens of thousands of Germans. And you know, this procedure was too good for the Jews. They didn't do this to the Jews. This was only for the Aryans, only the Germans they killed at first. And then when they had pretty much emptied out those homes and hospitals, then they disassembled the gas chambers they used and they reassembled them in the concentration camps for the Jews.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with another live commercial break. That's our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. If you have a copy of that book, The Soul of Science, please give us a call. We'd like to ask you a question about that book. Or you can email us at kgovlive@aol.com. That's KGOV Live Bible@AOL.com. I've been telling you about our Bible study albums, like Genesis to Creation, where we talk about origins, evolution, science, what the Bible says about creation, how God stretched out the heavens. And when we look at light that comes from distant stars or galaxies, you know, that light has really traveled that far to get to us. Let's say there's a star that's 5,700 light years away, which means its light at the speed of light would take 5,700 years to get here. But God created the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything in them, and he wanted a fully functioning universe. And so God put the stars in the heavens for men to see. And you know what's neat? Every direction we look out into the universe, it just goes out. As though we're in the center. As though we're not near the edge. It just goes out everywhere. And he put those galaxies and stars for us to see and enjoy and to be signs for us. And the Bible says, what is it, on three occasions, he stretched out the heavens. So he created these galaxies and stars, and he stretched the heavens out to fill the universe with his light. one 800 8 NYARD, 1-800-836-9278. We're going to go to the phones, but so when I heard in Israel that it took a three-judge panel to vote to kill an innocent child, I thought, human beings learn nothing from history. Human beings are evil. They're just flat-out evil. Here in this country, we don't have a three-judge panel. You just slaughter your kid for any reason. Convenience is the number one issue. In Colorado Springs, Kerry, speak your mind.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, sir.
I just had a question for you. I wanted to see if you were against abortions in all situations.
Yes. I could
no qualify. Any situation, no matter what.
Yeah, let me qualify that. Let's say the mother's life is at risk. Say it's an ectopic pregnancy and that the fertilized egg is in the fallopian tube. And so the mother is going to die and the baby is going to die. So what you do then is you operate, and your goal is to save the mother and the baby, but we're not sophisticated enough yet at this point to save the mother and the baby, so we just save the mother. And tragically, the baby dies. If we could save the mother and the baby, then that's what a good doctor would do.
Okay.
You never intentionally kill an innocent baby.
Sure. I understand that.
That's
what about a situation of like an incestuous relationship with a child and they become pregnant? Are you going to force that child to have that baby?
If when there's a rape, the rape is the fault of the rapist and the woman is the victim. And of course, rape is horrendous and incest is an especially egregious form of rape. But the woman is innocent of that crime. If you then say to the woman, whatever age she is, past puberty, if she's pregnant, if you say, you know, you could help yourself here by killing the baby, that baby is as much her baby as any baby ever could be. That's her baby. And she could give birth to the child and let it go for adoption. Of course, she could do that, or she could give birth to the child and keep the child. But to get the woman to convince her that she's better off if she kills that baby, now you have a rapist who has his guilt, and now she becomes guilty of murder, and you have just ruined that woman's life. And she will suffer for years with the emotional trauma of having killed a child. And women do suffer that trauma. Even pro-abort women.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of a tough situation. I kind of disagree with you there, but that's just my opinion.
Well, okay, now let's think through. I want to hear better your position. Let's say incest is committed.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
I think they should have the choice of whether they wanted to or not.
All right. Well, hold on. I got
that's all I'm for.
I have a specific question for you. incest is committed, and you know, the girl, we don't know what age she is. She's 13 or 15 or whatever, and she's traumatized. She doesn't know if she's pregnant or not. Time goes by. She doesn't tell anybody. And now she's starting to show. She's 4 months pregnant, which is, you know, there have been hundreds of thousands of abortions, if not more than a million, at 4 months or later. So she's 4 months pregnant, and she tells people it was a relative, an uncle or a father, and it was a rape, incest. And now she decides to kill the baby. So the baby is in her womb, and it's sleeping and dreaming. When it's awake, it plays with its toes. It sucks its thumb. Now, the baby is sucking his thumb. Carrie, I'd like to know, how will you kill that baby as he's sucking his thumb? You know, you have to stop him from sucking his
thumb. I've got 3 kids of my own. I'm just saying I do believe that they should have that choice.
Yeah, but I'd like to know, the normal way is you rip the baby's arm off its body.
I understand.
As he's sucking his thumb, you
I
rip
understand.
The... Well, I'd just like you to answer this part. To kill the baby when he's sucking his thumb, you rip his arm off his body. So is that, would you go about it that way, or would you do something different first? Would you rip a leg off the little baby first, or his arm? Which one of those? I think he hung up. Yeah, what do you do? It's just such a difficult question. Well, you know, at what age is it no longer okay to rip a baby's arm off his body? At what age? At what age is it no longer okay to rip a baby's arm off its body? And you've taught the young girl that to solve a problem, you could kill an innocent child. In fact, you could kill one of your own kids to solve a problem. And you think you're helping her? You think you're helping her? And you know how many women that's how abortion started in America, right here in Colorado. We were the first state, 1967. Governor Lamb, before he was governor, he was in the legislature in Denver, and he introduced a bill to legalize abortion for cases of rape and incest and the life of the mother, maybe deformed babies. Only when it's really necessary to kill the baby, that's when it's now legal to kill the baby in Colorado. We started it in America, and there's since been over 40 million babies killed. 40 million. What do you think Kerry would do? Do you think he would rip the baby's arm off first or rip the baby's leg off? Which would he do? Maybe he would do it Warren Hearn style up in Boulder, Colorado, at the Boulder Abortion Clinic, where he puts the baby on an ultrasound and he locates the beating heart. Then he takes a needle. He's written about this in his textbook called Abortion Practice. He takes a needle and he injects it through the mother's abdomen into the womb, in the amniotic sac, into the baby. Of course, the baby jerks and is undoubtedly horrified and tries to get that needle right into the heart and then injects a poison that kills the baby. That's one way to do it. Carrie, maybe you'd try that. You know, for many years, was it for 15 years in America, 20 years? Probably 15 years or so, they did saline abortions where they just injected salt into the amniotic fluid. And the salt burned the baby's skin. And the baby would breathe the would swallow the amniotic fluid, and it would burn the baby's throat and his intestines. And the baby would be going into, like, convulsions in severe pain. And the abortionist would lie to the mother and say, oh, you're going through contractions. And it wasn't contractions. and they torment those kids. Just the most. So how would Kerry kill the baby? I mean, because he sounds like a very compassionate person, a very loving person. So if you're going to be loving, well, then let's think of a loving way to kill the baby. If the baby, it depends, I guess, on how he is in the womb. If he's not turned around, if he's like in a breech position, which is normal earlier, then what they do at Planned Parenthood often is they open up the cervix and they go in with a suction tube and they have a vacuum cleaner going on. And then the vacuum cleaner is going, you know, if you put your vacuum cleaner on, you stop the airflow. It goes, because they got a foot. They got a foot or a leg, and it goes, and they rip the leg off. And the baby, when the abortion is start, the baby's heartbeat goes up to 200-plus beats per second, and the baby is frantically trying to get away from, what is this coming at me? And you go, you rip off a leg, and you rip off another leg, and you rip off the bottom half of the baby's body, and then, of course, you've killed him. Maybe Kerry would do it that way. After all, that's a very common way. Tens of millions of abortions have been done like that. So let's see. Let's ask him. So, Kerry, how would you do it?
I'm sorry?
How would you do it?
I'm saying I think they should have the choice.
Yeah, I know
that. I'm not supporting on how it's done or anything,
Kerry,
like that. I'm saying that they should have the choice to have it, to do it or not.
Kerry, I'm educated enough to understand that's your point. I'm asking
right.
you then, how would you kill the baby? Somebody's got to kill the baby.
I understand, and there's people that do that.
Yeah, but so what would you think would be the best for the baby? Start by ripping his legs off?
I'm not educated in that field to know that.
Huh?
I'm not educated in that field to know that. I'm not a doctor.
You don't need to be a doctor. You don't
in
have
to
be
know
a specialist.
To do it, I imagine you would.
To no. Planned Parenthood typically rips the baby's legs off first.
Okay.
Other abortions, the baby's arm gets ripped off first.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if you would have a preference. Or
no,
doctor abortionist.
It's not my decision.
Huh?
It's not my decision.
Well, Kerry, you
I don't think it's your decision.
Kerry,
either.
You express opinions on things
right.
that are not your decision.
Right. So
right?
You.
So I'm asking you to an express opinion on that. You've already expressed an opinion that the unborn baby should be, we should allow people to kill the babies in this circumstance. So I'm trying to get another opinion from you.
Okay.
That's one opinion. It's not your decision, but that's your opinion. So now I'd just like you to say, just have the courage to say, should we rip off the baby's arms first or his legs?
That's not even a... You know, legitimate question. I mean, that's not even.
No, it is a question because it's happened 40 million times in this country.
I understand.
Country.
And I
so
agree,
which
I agree
would
with
you?
Both your points,
which would you rip off
as a
first?
Form of birth control or anything like that, and that probably 99% of them should have never happened. I agree with you on that point.
Kerry, you know why you're
situations, Kerry, I agree that they should have that choice.
Kerry, we're almost out of time. You know why you're afraid to say how the
I'm
baby should be
to say
killed?
Anything.
You're afraid to say how that baby should be killed, and the reason you're afraid. Is because you don't want to look like a baby killer.
I'm not.
You should be a man and defend a little child. Go ahead, Kerry. Take the courage. Should we rip off the baby's arm first or his legs?
Take your pick. I'm just saying they should have that choice in certain situations.
You're not a man, Kerry.
You can go either way, I guess, then.
Well,
start either way.
Just say it. Say,
start with the arm or start with the leg. Take your pick.
All right. You said it. And on Judgment Day, those words will be replayed for you, Kerry. Those words will be replayed. Thank you for your call. The hearts of the mothers, the hearts of the fathers have been turned against the children. Do not murder. This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.